Welcome to the Mike Hewitt Show. 9 years and growing. It's about family, business, work, and politics like you've never heard it before. Yep, it's true. There's more than just a touch of wry humor mixed in. And now your host, Mike Hewitt.
Folks, I am Mike Hewitt. Co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedendorski. Miles, you made it back into the studio again.
Wow. What a concept.
That's not bad. Maybe we should stop calling him Squishy and start calling him Mr. 50-50.
I was here last week.
must not have been anything profound. We don't remember you being here.
My fans do.
Yeah. Miles Bauer, tell us what Victor Davis Hanson is talking about.
Yeah, so I was reading an article from townhall.com that Victor Davis Hanson wrote a few days ago. And he goes into how the United States is obsessing over being woke in almost every area of our lives, and how the rest of the world doesn't want to have anything to do with woke.
Right.
He talks about, we obsess whether biological men can compete in women's sports. If you complain about the spike in crime, you're a racist. That we should be tolerant of the conditions going on in cities like San Francisco and LA, where we're bringing back medieval diseases, and we're not supposed to, complain about that, and how we are recruiting people to the Pentagon and to the CIA, but we're concentrating on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
And I think we talked about it last week about, when I said the military should be about killing people or breaking things.
That's what it was designed to do. Like it or not, that's how war works, unless you're using your military apparatus as a social engineering mechanism, which is what it's being used for. But listen, I agree with the things that you've articulated from him, but I still get caused pause, because when I look at these topics, in fact, I'm actually borrowing a point you've made periodically over the years, Miles. When I look at these various things that are on the list you just recited, the first thing I think of is that this is what I refer to as the Democrats' litany of 1% campaigns. So that's how I see it. They're looking to get a half a percent here, a percent there. What they're telling the woke crowd is entirely different than they're telling mom and pop in suburban America. I use Whitmer here. Governor Whitmer, what do you call her?
Wicked Witch of the North.
We'll use some of the things that if you isolate what she's actually doing versus what she's saying, she actually is supporting defunding the police. She remains quiet when I say carjackings are up 764% in the state of Michigan. And folks, those of you that are not in Michigan, understand that she perfectly represents the Democrat Party. She, to her own, I have to paraphrase, but to her words, she's riding with Biden. Riding with Biden, I think, is the exact quote. These are national themes that she's advocating. She doesn't actually say them, but the result of it, how do you say 764% increase in carjackings, let's defund the police? How does that fit in the same paragraph?
Could have been 1,000.
Violent crimes up 12.9%, murders up 30%, aggravated assaults up 24.3%. Illegal immigrants tell Sterling Heights police, Sterling Heights, Michigan, they are moving 20,000 fentanyl pills for drug cartel. That's Sterling Heights, Michigan. Listen, that's an area I grew up in, and it's on the other side of the state from where I have lived for the last 20 plus years. But how, what I don't understand, Miles, and I'm hoping you or Lud, I don't, somebody will help me understand how abortion to birth, how all of these crime rates, how defund police, how to, for gasoline, by the way, now that they've been forced to turn the tap off on the strategic oil reserves, gasoline is back up to new heights. How does the average Democrat go, yeah, that's me, I support that? Miles, how does that mindset make all of these things make sense to your average Mr. and Mrs. Democrat voter? I genuinely, I don't understand it.
They want people to take their eyes off of how much money they just spent at the gas pump or how much money they just spent at the store. And really, the only issue they have is abortion. And it's the only thing because, I mean, if you look everywhere else, what, the stock market again has gone into the toilet?
Huge.
Which is killing people's retirement.
That was predictable.
We predicted
it. I mean, you know, so they only really have one thing to try to distract people with.
Well, they hit your heartstrings, right? And I'm driving yesterday, and I see a lady who needs help. And I don't have much myself, but I thought, man, I you know, feel bad. It says she's got some kids. She's, you know, but then I look over to her left and I see a now hiring sign at Walmart and thought, well, you should probably read the signs around you. So I didn't give her any, but they hit the heartstrings. All those people who gave $20 to Bernie, they didn't have $20.
They didn't. That's no heartstring. If I give you 20 and you pay off my education, that's a pretty significant investment for 20 bucks.
Yeah, yeah. No.
But so I owed $150,000. I gave that communist $20 and he paid off my debt.
But you weren't talking about that. You were talking about the social issues.
But
and
listen,
that's what they look at too.
But these folks don't stand back. These folks that gave $20 to Bernie never sat back and say, who's going to actually pay for my crazy social engineering higher education? Miles, Lud, to both of you.
How did I just get the fire from all this? I'm trying to in on it.
You're in on it. You're right up to your ears. I don't understand how anybody could go, yes, I like that. I know that you're ripping off my neighbor to pay for my education.
But they don't know that.
But yeah, they know that. No, where do they think these? No, where do they think the money's coming from?
The government.
The government doesn't have any
they
money.
They don't know that.
The government does not and has never owned a penny.
Remember, I'm in the classroom with these kids coming to high school.
Yep.
They don't know that.
How can they not know it? Shame on you, professor.
No. They know when they leave my class. They don't know it entering the classroom. That's how they know it, because they took my class. Because we explicitly, very much so, talk about no free lunch. Nothing's free. Someone's paying for it. And by the end of the class, everybody knows that. Trust me. Nobody wants free college after I explain to them, you're paying for it now and you're going to pay for it in 10 years when it starts. They all know.
That is a scary thought that Lude is going to lead us to the promised land.
Well, you should get on board.
Get on board. Oh, boy.
There's a few extra seats, but, you know, you got to be the right demographic to be on this board.
50% say that abortion should be legal. That's according to Gallup.com. And listen, I get that. And 35% said legal with some conditioning. But there's virtually nobody, when I say that virtually nobody, 80%+ do not think it should be abortion until birth. So you go, well, wait a minute. All of these people, like Whitmer, the effect of what she is saying is that. Nobody, by the way, wants their sons and daughters maimed, raped, murdered, but yet they're okay with saying, I'm going to vote for the crazy lady that says defund the police. When I, and you heard the crime stats I read.
Do they do what Miles did? Plug your nose and press the button?
I know he didn't go. Miles, how many times did you vote for O'Romney?
Zero.
There. Now listen, on that note, we've got to go to a break, but stay with us right there, folks. We'll be right back. All right, Miles Bauer, we're at break. Right as we go to break, you're talking about you never voted for Romney. So during break, you can't see him because you're zooming in from Chicago. But Ludwig is doing hand flips in here thinking, I've got him, I got him, I got him. Lud, what did he do?
So how many times did you vote for Obama then?
I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You stayed home. You voted for the other one then.
So he's saying by default, you voted for Obama.
Yeah, along with the other, what, 3 million evangelicals.
Listen, I got to tell you on that point. I'm not going to, Miles, by all means, defend yourself. But yeah. I can't, to me, tell me where I'm wrong, Miles Bauer. When right. At the time I did vote for Obama or Ron, whichever one you want to call him, I couldn't tell him apart.
Yes.
I just flatly couldn't do it. And so
yeah, Lou, this is the reason why I didn't think I was voting for Obama when I just skipped president in that election, because it really didn't matter. They were the same. And we don't have the option to go none of the above.
So I'm going Obama or Romney. I can't tell them apart.
Right.
I couldn't, honestly. And Lud, I get your point. And Miles will tell you, in the beginning of that, back once I heard that story, I chastised him. And then I went, wait a minute. I think the boy's right. Because he was right. And you know what? We've watched Romney absolutely prove, document that Miles Bauer was correct in that election cycle. If he would have turned around and become a great statesman, even if I didn't particularly care for him, I would have defended him. Mm-hmm. What he did instead, every single thing that old codger did was contrary to what Republican, small r, Republican form of self-governance means. He is bookends with former President Obama. Is that accurate, Miles Bauer?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that you know, because, Lute, I certainly understand it. I did have to hold my nose to vote for McPain, but I did that strictly because of Palin.
Yeah, that's what I remember you talking about. The difference, and because of what we talked about the first segment here, being about social, not economical, okay? Economically, they're pretty aligned. Socially, they were not. And I think a lot of our division...
Who's not?
Romney and Obama.
Oh, they're bookends.
You think that Romney wants to defund the police?
No, I don't think he cared enough to launch a campaign. And if I'm wrong, he would use his Senate seat right now to push back on it. And instead, he sits there with his lips stapled shut, sitting on his hands.
Well, they're going to lose
it. He does nothing.
They're going to lose it.
Because he doesn't do anything.
But they're going to lose it. They only have 50.
If he were a fraction of the leader, doesn't matter. If he were a fraction of the leader, he run around telling people he was, he'd be doing something. He'd be using his moderate position to drag some of the folks on the other side across to common sense.
Yeah.
Instead, he believes them. He agrees with them. And the only evidence I've got is that he does nothing. As a U.S. senator, he does nothing to advance what's right and what's and stymie
anywhere.
What's wrong? Because everybody's busy saying it won't go anywhere.
Yeah, because it's not going to. Cinema
because it's
and
math.
Mansion.
It's math.
Yeah, math says you can't do it.
He could use his influence.
Those two aren't coming.
If
they
he were,
hold.
I but doesn't have to be those two. You're telling me that out of 50, he can't go across and use his esteem.
No.
To drag anybody over,
no.
He can't reason with the public.
It's not about the public.
It is about the public. It's always about the public.
Well, it's supposed
always,
to be, but it's not.
It always is. That's where you and I really disagree. Every time I hear, they'll say, that rotten politician only does that to get reelected. And they say it as if the voters they're not part of that loop.
I know.
They do that crazy stuff to get those votes.
Yes.
He could use that fact to lead a campaign to push back on these nitwits, and he doesn't because he's one of them.
I'm not saying he's not part of that.
He's absolutely
political atmosphere and environment. Absolutely. That vote's going nowhere.
Top Democrat candidates seek to cash in with women-themed campaign merchandise, but won't define the term. Literally none of the Democrats in elective office federally were able to provide a definition for the word woman.
Wasn't there a women's march?
This is from FoxNews.com, but I found it everywhere. They're out selling all kinds of campaign paraphernalia, trying to say that the Republicans are terrible to women. They can't even define what a woman is.
Well, they can when it comes to money.
They don't. They won't actually stand in front of a microphone and say those last millions of dollars we've got came from females, women. They won't say it because their screwball far left wing base has bought into their 1% campaign. And I'm looking back at Mom, Pa, Democrat, going, how do you support this rot gut, brain dead nonsense? How do you do that?
Well, I remember during when I ran, and stories you told me about when you ran, is there's people who are issue voters, right? Single issue voters.
Right.
And they get a thing in that says the Democrat they're voting for is pro-choice from the Pro-Choice Foundation, whatever. They look at nothing else. They get that in, they take that card to the polls, they vote for it.
Right.
And I think that is a good chunk of Americans. They just get something in the mail that says, this is the guy or the female, I'm going to go up for that. They don't look at anything else.
Listen, my phone for the last 10 days, I've been getting it blown up via text from Beto O'Rourke and a whole bunch of other far-left Democrats. I'm going, wait a minute, and I'm not nobody, so please I'm not over-appraising myself, but I am the third district chair for the Michigan Republican Party, and I do a conservative radio show approaching our 10th anniversary. I'm getting my phone blown up by far-left Democrats. That tells me something. It tells me that their internal polling says that they desperately need to reach across and get anybody they can. And it is single-issue voting, by the way. That's how they're able to do all their crazy 1% campaigns. They got this 1% here, that group. You folks don't need to talk to those folks over there. In fact, we're going to divide you with hatred and anxiety because we don't want you talking. That's how Democrat leadership does this. Well, but I still look at Mom and Pop Democrat that probably are good people and go, how do you support this stuff?
Well, I think that's part of why they're in trouble right now is that single-issue voter isn't about single-issue abortion voting right now. It's economy, it's inflation, and stock market, all the things that are financial, and they're running on the single-issue abortion. But that's not the issue this time around, and I think you're right. They are reaching across because they're in trouble.
I know I'm right, but if you follow the media...
Oh, they're not in trouble.
Yahoo.com, CNN, BBC, if you follow the media... The wave is gone, they're on fire, and we're busy beating each other up. Miles, is that true?
How about that news source that I found up there in Michigan, the Independent Michigan?
That's owned by American Progressives for screwing up the country or something like that.
Isn't that amazing? So they have to resort to coming up with fake news sites.
Right.
To sway people in a certain direction.
So, folks, what you got to understand is what Miles is getting at is that they literally come up with this website and they promote it and they display it as if it's a news website. But when you start to read it, it gets crazy laughable. People buy into it. Listen, we're down to just a brief moment before break, but I'm reading about this Keith Ellison. In Minnesota, abortion key to Keith Ellison's second term hopes. And I pause and I think, imagine having your congressional ability to win re-election entirely based on abortion till birth. Folks, I'm just telling you, I hate to beat the drum over and over again, but I don't think I'd want to win re-election if the only way I could win is to call for babies to get murdered.
They're fighting, and they're going to die on their sword on this issue, this election cycle. It's not what people are worried about. They're worried about buying food, gas, and housing.
I agree with that. Holy smokes, that don't happen often. Folks, stay with us, and we'll count Ludwig's correctness for the year so far.
We don't have time.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. And before we start beating up on Lud again, I got to ask you, I got to remind you, please email me, mike@themikehewittshow.com. We're now on Spotify and we're on Apple Podcasts, broadcasting from our flagship station, WHTC Holland, Michigan, 1450 AM, 99.7 FM. The three of us, and I think Jared too, the four of us are having a ball with us. Send me an email. Tell me if you agree. Tell me if you disagree. If you wish we'd talk about something else, let us know what it is. I respond to everybody, and I absolutely love to hearing it. Now back to pounding on Ludwig.
Have you got all my emails?
Six. You've been correct six times this year.
Just today. But have you got all my emails? Because I email you at least 10 times a week telling you how wrong you are.
Mike?
Yeah, go ahead, Miles.
We have got to talk about Lude's closest friend, Oprah.
She's on the list.
Yeah.
Well, Oprah is on the list. And I got to tell you, and folks, you got to understand, this is an article. Miles, I'm glad you picked it up. So Shania Twain has dinner with Oprah Winfrey. All went sour over the topic of religion. That is actually from Fox News, but I found it, again, Yahoo, CNN, everybody talked about this particular topic. No room for debate, according to Twain. It just wasn't debatable. Said her conversation about religion with Oprah Winfrey. Listen, I did a three-minute feature about Oprah Winfrey a year ago. Lud, you've had dinner with her a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
So in my show notes, it says Lud's girl.
Shocker. At least this one's real.
Now, and what Shania Twain is trying to say is that she's not saying the words, these are my words, but that she's a religious zealot. Is that a fair statement? Did you read the article, Lud?
Yeah, a little bit.
When you met with her, now I'm not teasing you for a minute.
Yeah, no.
I will in a minute, but I'm not there yet. When you met with her, did you find her to be a religious zealot?
No.
I've not met her, but when I did the feature, I had to research her life. So here's a young lady that got bounced all over as a little girl. She literally was wearing burlap sacks as dresses, and now she's a billionaire, hugely successful. I don't agree with her on a lot of politics, but if you put your intellectual hat on and stand back and look at what she's been able to achieve from being molested as a 13-year-old by a relative of her father's, bounced back and forth from state to state between divorced or separated divorced parents. What a tremendous success story. By the way, I'll underline it. What a tremendous American success story. I don't think that she could have achieved the heights that she achieved anywhere else. Now, reading what I've read about her says that she believes the church, choir, and that state of mind put her on the path to where she's at. So it's not a wonder for me to stand back and read that she takes her faith very seriously. Lud, what's your view of what we're talking about?
So, one, we always know don't talk religion and politics, right? That's something you just don't bring up.
That's even part of the article.
Yeah.
Part of the etiquette book from 1888, never talk about religion and politics in polite company.
But I can tell you, I had a very swayed view of Oprah when I met her and did not want to meet her. And somehow she took a liking to me. I know you guys are probably shocked about that too, but there was nothing I ever felt confrontational with her on anything. And we talked about a lot of politics because Trump had just become president and her chance of running.
She wasn't a big Trump fan.
No, she even told a story about how she had run into him and Melania at a restaurant right after he won. And neither one would say hi until Melania came by and said hi. And then he said, hi, Oprah. And she goes, oh, hi, Donald. Like, there was nothing confrontational in anything we discussed. And I mean, we talked about everything. Her running for president, Trump, gays and lesbians, race. We talked about everything. There was a number of times where I felt this is awkward. I actually felt her open to hearing what I was saying. Now,
Dude,
maybe her Luke, subject
the,
is religion.
The reason why you didn't have any confrontations, as Mike and I can have witnessed over the years, is because you're squishy about everything.
But doesn't he have more in common voting for Obama?
Mr. 50-50 squishy.
I'm willing to listen. Doesn't mean I'm willing to change. There's a big difference.
Yeah, listen, I get that. I'm truly impressed with her life story.
Yeah,
really
it's incredible.
Am. So when I stand back and I try to get my head around which one of these two ladies do I agree with, I don't see Oprah running around talking about how it was an awkward conversation. I see Twain running around. And, you know, Oprah saying, I'm standing by my faith. Listen, I applaud her for that.
Yeah.
I really do. Miles, what's your take on it before we get back to pounding on Ludwig about something?
I couldn't read the article, so I didn't get into to the details.
One of those that wouldn't open for you?
No, it's that Fox News wants me to jump through three hoops and spin around, touch my nose. And
so let me ask you this, though.
Who?
Either one of you. If she was going to be rude to somebody and contentious about a subject, would she be rude with somebody who's got 1,000 Facebook friends or somebody who's got 40 million followers?
Well, I don't think that Shania Twain said she was rude.
Well, make an awkward situation.
She just was not willing to
debate it.
Yeah, it's, you know, my faith is my faith, and let's talk about something different.
Yeah, and I don't see a problem with that.
I didn't get in. I don't either, by the way. And there are some. I can be a pragmatist because in the political arena, I'll have people say, Mike, boy, you were not squishy. They'll say, it seemed like you were open to debate on that. I do have some things I'm willing to make a trade on. But there are some things that are simply not for sale. There's no trade.
Are you telling me?
We trade you away.
Are you telling me you're using Democratic language on me? You call me squishy, but when it's you, it's pragmatic
it's,
and
it's different.
Open to discussion? Like there's no recession now, but there was for 4 years during Trump?
There was no recession then.
Well, there was.
No.
During COVID, two consecutive quarters, mean recession. Not that it was a real recession, but by the definition.
A fake recession.
Yeah. A COVID-driven one. Government-driven, before we get Mike off the...
So I need to, once in a while, I have to look to Miles to get some counseling. This time I got to say, Miles, where in the heck we get him at? Where were we thinking that day?
I sought you out. Remember, I came in and sold a gun.
All right. Just talking about the Democrat 1% campaigns, and that's genuinely, folks, how I see them as 1% campaigns. Just like I said, they've got everyone divided. Miles, I think you often refer to it as tribalization. They do have us very tribalized. They've done that on purpose. By the way, it's within both parties. This is not a Democrat phenomenon. It's an American cultural phenomenon. So they can go to all of the various different groups with their 1% campaigns for this one, for that one. And one of my favorites is the global warming, coming ice age, climate change phenomenon, where they jet off to Fuji, but they're against...
Well, they're just going to check the sea levels, and there's no other way to get there.
Ancient Sahara Seaway illustrates how Earth's climate and creatures can undergo extreme change. Scientists reveal first reconstructions of extinct species and computer map of the Sahara Seaway. Folks, I'm accepting fault on this. I've just wanted everybody to know. I have a Jeep. It's four-wheel drive. It's an SUV. And it's my fault that the Sahara used to be a sea, and now it's a desert. Miles, do you accept some culpability on what happened to the Sahara Seaway?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm also worried about the flatulence from all the cows that are here in Illinois and up in Wisconsin. But you know the thing is, and I was reading an article the other day. Did you know that Antarctica used to be green?
Yep. And that goes my, that's the same. By the way, that's partly your fault because you've owned four-wheel drives.
Right?
You know, I'm going to pledge right now to stop eating refried beans to do my part.
It's a little bit late. It is
Jared's on board. You on board, Mike? Pledge. Right now, sign the pledge. No more refried beans.
Miles, where do we get this guy at?
Yeah, I know.
Lordy. Listen, when you get into those topics, some of them are just mind-numbing. They're so stupid. But these folks win campaigns with them. Folks, stay with us, and we will be right back. All right, Miles Bauer, let's change gears. It's too easy picking on Ludwig. Vice President Kamala Harris, not that that's...
I say you just picked on somebody easier.
Yeah, I'm bookends again. Vice President Kamala Harris commends U.S. alliance with Republic of North Korea. Miles, does something seem wrong with that statement?
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't seem surprising coming out of her mouth. I mean, you know, think of all... I mean, setting aside Biden's gaffes.
That's a tough one to do.
Making mention of a congressperson that was killed last month in a car accident.
Where's Jackie?
Where's Jackie?
She must be on her way. She was supposed to be here today.
You go, how do these people do
this
stuff?
She was on top of mind.
How do these people do this stuff and have their voters go, it's okay?
Because she was on top of mind.
Oh,
that's what the press secretary said, I think, 65 times.
Where did we get them? These?
Anyway, sorry, go on about Kamala.
All right, Miles, go ahead. With you.
I have read articles, though. The reason why she has so much turnover on her staff, this is Vice President Harris, is that apparently they will give her prep notes and speeches and things, and she won't review it ahead of time.
Right.
So she's just flying by the seat of her pants, allegedly.
That's working out really well for her.
But to mistake North and South Korea?
Well, especially when you're standing at the demilitarized zone. There you are at the DMZ, and you're looking north because you got to. And then when she leaves, that's my favorite part, North Korea fires missile after Harris leaves South Korea. In other words, she really had a big impact on Little Rocket Man.
Hey, she finally made it to a border.
She did make it to a border.
Oh, wrong one.
It wasn't our border.
Oh.
Keeping in mind, I'm the guy, because I'm a non-interventionist, I'm the guy that I look out the 2 million people we've got scattered around the world, military folks. The numbers are staggering, but we don't defend our own border. That's mind-numbing to me.
You know what the problem with the border right now is? This fentanyl thing. Have you heard about the candy-colored fentanyl? People are actually buying these, not because they know it's fentanyl. They're buying it thinking it's Nerds or Sweet Tarts to hand out at Halloween.
Right.
And it's fentanyl. But that's a war. That's kill us.
It is a war. But I've said that all along. When you have, you know, we're all lost in these semantics of is it illegal migration? Is it undocumented worker? Is it alien, the one that I often use? Is it any of those things? And I'd say it would be if we were talking about a couple thousand people. But when you're up into the millions, where in fact we did this about a month ago where I did the math on it, and I'm drawing a blank on the math, but as it worked out, it was just shy of 5 million during the time that Biden has been president, which would make it the 20-something largest state in the union if they all lived on one. That's not illegal immigration. That's an insurgency. By definition, we can argue about the definitions of words. We talked about that last week, Miles, where they're redefining all the words. Gay used to mean happy, and now it's a sexual preference. Used to be able to go to the restaurant and order food, but now you got to tell them your sexual preference before you order your food. You go, wait a minute, what is this stuff? This is nonsense stuff. Anyway, it is an insurgency, and that's the weapon that they're using is drugs.
But even take the people out of it, the insurgency there, because I agree 100%. We're not talking about cocaine and marijuana and heroin or ecstasy or meth that somebody who's choosing to buy that drug war. We're talking about a war that China is actually having fentanyl brought across our border to be given out to children to kill them. That's a whole nother level.
How do we know it's China doing it? And I'm not pushing back.
Because the articles I read is that it's China.
But I just don't know that it is or isn't. I'm not pushing back on
it. I'm just going by what the news is telling me, so who knows? Well, probably not true then.
I trust the news.
I mean, I haven't talked to the Chinese fentanyl maker to know, but it does make sense. And it's coming in through the cartels in China. Those are the two main sources. And that's the fentanyl from the Chinese is apparently where this candy-colored stuff came from. And it's sold as if it's Nerds or Sweet Tarts specifically for Halloween. You're talking about 6-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 9-year-olds, these are kids that there's a war on that we're not taking care of.
Yeah, but they've been listening. I get that, and I'm not, I don't know the details, so I can't agree and disagree other than acknowledge your words. But one thing we do know for a fact, and that's that China has been extremely invested in America's higher education. So when you stand back, Miles Bauer, like in the, early on in the show, you were talking about Victor Davis Hanson and his opining that the rest of the world is not engaged in woke. We are. I submit to you that that's coming from academia entirely. And where is it coming in academia? It's coming from China. They are deeply financially invested in America's higher education. So when you tell me that we're entirely different than everywhere else in the world on these topics, I'm going, yeah, big surprise on that. And the only part surprising to me is that Democrat leadership buys in, again, because they see these things as part of their 1% campaign.
So, and it's on the list. Miles, do you think Floridians leaving the hurricane's path this week was like illegal immigration?
Yeah, Joy Reid has been a piece of work for quite a while. So it did not surprise me at all that she came up with something as outrageous as that.
I see on Twitter leftists, and these are not elected, they're just folks on Twitter. For all I know, they're robots. But the overriding thing that I'm reading there from the very left is that, great, this will extinguish their big economy. And I'm thinking, wow, you're cheering and clapping on people that are losing their livelihoods, losing their homes, their businesses, and in many cases, their life. That makes sense to you? And then she looks at it like a political weapon. Folks, I don't know who can support these things. Honest, I don't. If it happened in Massachusetts, Cambridge, the ultimate leftist East Coast place, I wouldn't be going, golly, geez, good for them. I wouldn't. I'd be saying, how can we help? Yep. Same as what I say to Florida. We're supposed to be American back. Of course, I'm the old guy. You like to tell me that. But I was raised up under the old thing about our politics stops at the water's edge. And when a crisis happens, we pull together. Not, holy moly, that was good. Hope it happens again to more Republicans. Who thinks that way?
Based on that, what you just said, do you think we have the same unity if 9/11 happened today? No. As we did 20 years ago?
No, but even that unity only lasted about a month.
Yeah, but we still had it.
Yep, we you had know it. What?
I totally reject that. Which that partner? Was a media creation.
I think he's right. And I do. And we've often talked over the years since Miles and you and I both, all three of us, have been together on the show, that they tend to move in 7 and 10 day cycles. Mm-hmm. So if you go back, I think Miles is exactly spot on. They showed us a dozen scenes 5 million times, talked about unity, to your point, Miles Bauer. But in the end, it fell apart when they moved on to the next topic. And the next topic was divisive, as they like to make it. Is that a closer to true rendition, Miles Bauer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for whatever reason, and, you know, we've now been paying the price because, of course, we all panicked back then in 9/11, and then they created the Patriot Act, and now we're wondering, why are we being monitored? Well, it was created back at 9/11.
Right. Whenever I think of the Patriot Act, you got me on a topic I don't have enough time to offer a rant on, but the Patriot Act couldn't have been any more un-American and yep. mistitled.
Right.
Flatly mistitled. Anybody that goes anywhere, I don't care if it's a train, a Greyhound, or an airplane, you immediately know that we surrendered to yet another war, because that's what they took a war against us, and we politically surrendered. You can't walk into Metropolitan Airport, Detroit, O'Hare, etc., and say, jeepers, we won, because they corral you, they pat you down. If you bring your 90-some-year-old grandmother, they're going to pat her down too. And we won? No, absolutely not. We surrendered the Bill of Rights in the name of Patriot Act? Absolutely not. I fervently reject that as anything remotely being close to patriotism or victory. miles. I'm down to seconds. Am I off the off in the weeds on this?
No, I totally agree. That thing is so unconstitutional, and I don't understand why someone doesn't take that before the high court.
Because the high court's political. That's why. Right? And hands full of them are squishy, just like Ludwig. Folks, last time, please be safe. In the meantime, between now and next week, give us a shout on Facebook. Talk to you next week.